see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people see peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watch for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. And welcome. So did y'all miss me this weekend? I'm back. Here we are, starting the week over again on this Monday. This is live today, 13th of October, 2014. And here we go. What is it today? Is it today Ebola? Oh, it's Ebola now, not the flu like it was in 2009. Somewhere in between is Fukushima, falling meteorites. I don't know. What else is there? Aliens? I don't know. They just come up with these things all the time. Back in 1938 was Martians landing or something on the radio. 1999, it was Y2K. Seems to be pretty consistent, don't it? Always got some kind of fear factor. Every decade, every year. Depends. One falls down, they check the internet, check the YouTube, check the Facebook, check the newscasts and all that, and to make sure that something's buzzing in the airwaves. They use a controlled opposition, Operation Mockingbird. Check it out. Where they control the truth tellers and the TV and the broadcasters, both alternate news and regular news, but primarily alternate news. Since 1915, it's been totally controlled, except in 1950, the Chicago Tribune ran some good articles, ran some good programs for a couple of years. Then they got control of it. Jerry MacArthur, even when he lied about the position of the Japanese armada, says up in the Philippines, no, they were in directly to, like they had planned in 1920, head directly to Pearl Harbor, but he lied. I think it got to him during the period of Korea, because he started telling the truth. about how we were promoting and helping and aiding in the development of communism in China and North Korea, setting up for a fictitious alternate enemy like they are now. What's a fictitious alternate enemy now? ISIS? Ebola? Are they real enemies? Sure. Are they known? No, you don't know, but they're there. Can they blow things up in malls and school buses and such? Sure, they can. Can Ebola be spread? Yeah, by a vaccine. That's how they spread the pandemic and control it. They cause fear. The fear will then produce those that don't understand the vaccine. They'll run to get it. Give me, shoot me with it. They'll start the pandemic, actually. After all, that's what they planned in 2009 with the flu, but people wouldn't buy off on it. Now they're going full steam ahead with this Ebola thing. Ebola, man-made disease, not in Africa. That's another lie they got. HIV, the same thing, and the Guillain-Barré syndrome, all based on modifications of the same virus. Did you know that in 2006, 2007, and 8 thereabouts, there was over 300 microbiologists that died that had some connection with the government? I mean, it didn't pay to be a microbiologist and go fishing. You'd die, drown trying to catch a trout, or drive a car. Or even ride a bicycle. Might as well stay home if you were a microbiologist during that period of time. 300, and there's names available, and you can read how they sort of died. Natural causes, suicides. Yeah, like Nancy Schaefer and her husband. This is not movie. It's real. That's how they do it. You have an illusion of being free since 1776. That's the truth. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I want to talk today some more about the humanist control of America and the Ebola scare and about euthanasia. That somebody in Oregon better get on stick and somehow shut down those covens, because those covens are going through their sacrifice of animals and humans, who knows what else. Working their boat with Freemasons up there to get votes to pull in and movements to pull in, euthanasia to kill your children. I would think that America would be up in arms about that, wouldn't you? I would think so, but no, they're not. There's no major drive to stop the euthanasia agenda up in Oregon or Texas. Now, Texas, you got a good history of doing the right thing. Don't let down now. Don't you let them put euthanasia in Texas. Don't you dare. See, even though this agenda seems to be massive, it's not overpowering. But this must happen. The judgment will come. There's no way to stop it. Not possible. But it doesn't just sit and do nothing whatsoever. When you can cause them to lose at every step of the way they move, you've succeeded. When you cause them to rethink or have to go to another state, an advanced party, to manipulate their thinking and their voting and so forth, so be it. You never stop fighting. But armed rebellion is not ever going to work. When you commit armed rebellion, you're going to lose lives. That's a given. But it plays right into the hands of the globalists every single time, and it always has, because they're the ones promoting it, and always did. No exception. Because armed rebellion, violence, always plays in their hand. Because it gives them the chaos that they have to establish order. Always. And they always infiltrate both sides of any conflict of any kind. But see, their time is coming to a close. And the only one, literally, the only one that's going to accomplish this is the supernatural, is Jesus Christ. Because you, human beings, are dealing with the supernatural realm. Whether you like it or not, or believe it or not, I don't know what to tell you. But the fact remains, that's what's going on. And denying it won't make it just go away. So you deal with spiritual warfare. That's the only way. And the action that you all take to delay certain acts and certain legislation and all that, you start breaking the spokes in the wheel, it just makes it go longer, which is what you want to do. Make it longer to witness to others. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's move. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we thank you that we have this week coming up. Lord, we thank you for the past that we've able to be able to do broadcasting, spreading the gospel, working together. Father, give us that wisdom, discernment to see through the deception. Father, to guide us in your path to do thy will, not our own. Father, we raise up to you our sins that we have committed. Father, that you remind us of those that we've maybe bypassed that we need to bring to the cross. We pray, Father, for our brethren, for the children, Father, to come back home. We do thank you for prayers answered here in the past week, Lord, that you have touched the hearts of certain children and brought them to the cross. And Lord, you know the ones we talk about. And Father, we thank you for that prayer being answered. Father, we know that spirit's moving, but Lord, we know the evil is moving too. Father, we depend on you for this wisdom, discernment, to guide us through these hard times coming, and to see through the good times, Father, for the fault, for the deception that they may present. Lord, we pray for the return of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem, that he may establish his kingdom for the 1,000 years. Father, that's what we look for. Father, that's what we pray here on this channel, and dedicate our programs, Father, to his return. And Father, to spread the word, pass the gospel, and expose the darkness. We pray, Father, for those that are find the only way out of suicide or euthanasia, that, Lord, that spirit will set up divine appointments to bring their minds to other solutions. Lord, that divine appointments will give them that hope. We pray, Lord, certainly we pray, Father, for the children that are being captured, already taken in, Father, for these sacrifices coming up. We pray for their release, Lord. We pray for their comfort, Father, to calm them down, to give them some ray of hope in this dismal environment of these satanic Wiccan covens that are, Father, are embedded in the governments, embedded in the military, embedded in the business industries. And Father, you'll expose these evil for who and what they really are. Father, we pray for courage to go to the watchmen, to go to the pulpits, synagogues and cathedrals, to bring out those whistleblowers that's going to preach the true word of God to the people. Father, we need that now more than ever. And Father, we pray for healing. And family members that we prayed for in the past and those that are our brethren. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, what's real important these days is for you when you get up in the morning is pray on the full armor of God. To delve into spiritual warfare. Because that is exactly what's going on today. In every area you can think of. A lot of people don't realize that. Man tries to take care of it themselves. When they finally run out of options, hadn't worked, then they finally go to God every single time. Or not. If they don't, they just, I don't know, self-implode. There is a time coming, 1,000 years of millennium peace. There's another peace coming that will be a short-lived period of peace. It will be the forerunner of the seven seals. The first seal is peacetime. Be very wary when you have full peace within the world first. Be very careful. And be watchful. Because you know judgment's got to come. Because you have a loving God, but you have a just God. When he says, vengeance is mine, when do you think that's going to happen? Everybody keeps saying, Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Okay, well, that's fine. It says in the Bible. But when do you think it's really going to happen? Every day? Does he take vengeance on those that's been wronged? No, but I'll tell you one thing. He's keeping track of all those who do bad. He's keeping track of all those who've been done wrong. He knows who's who and what's what. And when that first trumpet blows of the tribulations, the second half of the 3.5 years, the seven, the last 3.5 years, when it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, let me tell you what. It won't be some silly river in some Pakistan to turn red or some iron oxide something, a river turn red or lake or something another in Wisconsin or whatever. It won't be nothing like that. You won't need internet to know it. It'll be at your front doorstep. Just be sure you're not there. The way to be sure you're not there is taking Jesus Christ as your Savior and do it now. That means repenting of your sins, acknowledging what you've done. And what you can't remember, you ask him to remind you. And those who are so-called shills and working for the government, and you're amazed at what the government has and all that, rest assured, the government will not have it once the tribulations begin. They will be left naked to the world, confused, dazed, and crying their lies out, hiding in the darkness when this thing hits. You can be promised of that. Of that, there's no question. Four-star generals won't give a hoot about the four stars on their collar. It won't matter. Won't mean even one penny. They don't realize that yet because their minds are blinded by the pomp and the positions and the blood oath that they've taken as the Knights of Malta. That's got them blinded. That's why God's going to shake things up just a tad bit. I shouldn't even say a tad bit because it's coming. You watch for the signs of the time. And I see the signs pretty much popping up. They seem to be getting again close. Remember World War I? It said the war to end all wars. What would that be? That'd be Armageddon. But it didn't happen, did it? World War II. Nuclear bombs being dropped on whatever they did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Didn't happen, did it? No. That happened, but his return didn't happen, did it? No, his return didn't happen. All along, they're trying to provoke God into returning. They're not in control. They have no control factor at all. Only thing they can do is have mankind to turn away from God. Then kind of forces God's hand because we turn away from him. Be careful, though, what you wish for. You're going to get it. When he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, all those who are shills, as they call themselves, are working for the government because you're amazed at what they have, you're going to lose it. They have nothing. The creator of this universe knows all. Knows exactly how it's going to end. Knows exactly every move they make before they even realize the move they're going to set up and to make it. He already knows what they're going to do before they even know they have a question. You see. How do you fight an enemy like that and you're a Luciferian? You don't. It's impossible. Whose side are you on? There's going to be folks that tell on their fellow Americans because they are amazed at what the government has set up in deep underground military bases. They're amazed at the power structure of the Illuminati or the Freemasons or whatever. But it's actually nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Built of straw. Build your hope, your faith on a rock, not sand. And Jesus Christ is that rock. But you will be tested. You will be tested. What's going on today? What's happening out there? Well, let's see what we got here. We're on the top of the list. The one thing that he put on my heart to talk about. Yep, there it is. Romans 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. So, who's the creator? God is. If you believe in evolution, I got to applaud you. The faith you got to have, what happened there? My sound just increased. The faith you got to have in evolution is quite amazing. Being it's impossible, even in the carnal mind. Faith. Because evolution is biologically, physically, thermodynamically impossible in the world you live in. One word destroys evolution. Ironically enough, it starts with the same letter. Entropy. Entropy. Everything dies, rusts, rots, consumed, stone, whatever. You know, it goes backwards, not forwards. The way they explain that is mutations. Wait a minute. Yeah, mutation. A mutation means it's missing something and won't last very long. Changing species is not mutation. Horizontal evolution is impossible, but vertical evolution is possible due to the ley lines of the earth and how over a long period of time the DNA can be restructured over the long term of the same species. Well, what I mean by that is you won't find polar bears in Africa. But because of the different positioning of the bear species in the northern part, they're white. They are adaptable to the cold environment because that's where the ley lines of the earth, like, well, I hate using this word. It's so new agey, but chakras or whatever. But you have power structures of the earth, ley lines that converge, different ELF, different energy points of the earth that manipulate DNA. That's why you don't find coconuts in the Africa, coconuts in Europe. Only in certain places, certain plants and animals and humans in different places. Actually, if you have an indigenous, let's take Caucasian folk. Okay, you Caucasians. Let's say you got an indigenous person living in Chicago. Well, you cross all the way down to, say, North Carolina or Florida, Georgia, and they're indigenous down there, you'll find a difference in the eyes. It shows up mostly in the eyes. It's different, even in that ley line from Chicago all the way down to Georgia or North Carolina. Now, you stick them all the way over to Asia, major difference. They're still basically Caucasian with the difference of the eyes and the skin's a little yellowish color. So all it is, skin differences. Go more south, they get darker color of skin. That's all it is. We're still all human. Don't matter who you are. But what changes it is manipulation by the Illuminati and how they handle the cultures from the very beginning planning ahead. That's what changes everything. To cause us to fight each other instead of working together. So they take the differences and cause them to be in conflict with each other, creating chaos to bring order. That's how they do it. But the differences of the cultures began after the flood and after Nimrod, by the scattering of the population as God changed the languages at Tower of Babel. He also allowed or did change the cultural characteristics due to DNA manipulation, either instantly at the time of changing the languages or over the long term by being in different parts of the world once he split them apart. There's a gap of history sometime after the Tower of Babel where there's no recording in the Bible or other places where, except legends, of what happened to the plates. A great loss of life. In some legends, we'll have to say, not biblical. There's a gap of history. You can speculate that the cows come home, but it makes sense that God then divided the land, which it says in Peleg, the generation of Peleg, P-R-E-L-E-G, Peleg, 10 generations after Nimrod. God divided the land. It's kind of a mystery what that means, really. Because he divided them when he changed the languages at Nimrod. But then you move further, 10 generations or 12, it says God divided the land. Huh. What's speculated is a major shift of plates that then split the earth apart. That would have caused massive tsunamis. A great loss of life during that period of 1,000 years. After that period of 1,000 years of replenishing the earth. That means that the population would have been stuck on the continent of which they were at in that period of time. Then began the changing of DNA over the generations and generations of vertical evolution. Now, some of the evolution you'll find in these before the flood, some after the flood, was guided by the, we'll call them the hierarchy. DNA manipulation even back then by alchemy. I'll give you one example. I'm not going to go in detail, but one example to give you some idea is they use crystals, which are able to be possessed, but crystals. They take amethysts, for example, in one alchemical formula. They grind it up to a dust, like powder, but still crystals. Combine it with certain liquids, ritual, you have what's called amethyst milk. It can affect DNA over the long term. It's witchcraft. It's alchemy. Total evil. The knowledge of good and evil. Now you see where it comes from? God never intended us to use that because the knowledge of it, by trial and error over the long term of generations, will show you how you can apply God's principles to start changing things. That's where formulas come from. That's where the periodic table comes from. Mathematics, geometry, physics, chemistry, biology, all that together is Satan's way to use mankind to harness the principles that God set up for creation. The knowledge of good and evil. But had to do a trial and error basis until 20th century and computers were formed. Then it began to model using computers. Now you know what computers are for. He couldn't do certain things until technology, industrial explosion, had come around. This is the big, big picture. It's nothing but witchcraft, alchemy, total evil. So you can turn that around and use it because it's already there by having ministries, by spreading the truth using Satan's tools. Aha, you see. You turn it back on him. Pray over it. This is the war going on around you. So to get you off that thought, they have to throw in fictitious alternate enemies, to keep you busy, keep you tied up. It's got a smorgasbord for everybody, from the Satanist to Christians to whatever. Sports, everything. I hate to sound kind of old-fashioned and folky, but that's what it's all about. We were created to worship the Lord and to help each other from the very beginning. Never to be divided, except in cultures, because every man was plotting against God at the Tower of Babel. That's why I divided the cultures. But not to work against each other, but stay within your culture, but to help each other. Not go fighting, not go war with each other, not to be biased against another culture. No, that's Satan using that separation against God. Finding out what makes people tick, and lust, using that. All these emotions are demonic. It's us with a rebellious attitude because of mankind's attitude of rebellion, and Satan enhancing it with the demonic entities. I know it's a little bit much for a Monday, huh? But that's the way it is. Anyway, so what are we at now? Healthcare bill. Healthcare bill has the euthanasia as one of its points. Oh, they can't wait for that to pass through. Already has in Belgium. Working on it in Oregon. And those witches, man, they're getting down and doing their sacrificing and doing their praying or incantations, whatever. The legislators who are Freemasons and also into Satanism are working their boat to mesmerize, to control the ones that's going to vote it in. They need justification. So, but Kevorkian was to put it on the table. Make it look like, oh, we got to stop him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they put it on the table ever since then. I can't tell you how many umpteen thousands of people have already committed assisted suicide. They're not ready to make it public yet, so it's to make it legal. Everybody wants to do it. What are y'all standing in line for? Oh, we're going to kill ourselves. Already here, I got my bucket list. It's all finished. I got them checked off. Yeah, I'm ready to go now. I'm tired of living here. So I'm going to, yeah, it's going to be like that. That's what it's going to go down to. We're just going to let it happen. You see. Just like abortion, the whole line of it. I'm going to talk about that a little bit today, I do believe. 13th of February, 2014. Belgium is a poster country for where it goes for child euthanasia, which is considered to be a logical progression. Kevorkian did the adult progression. And to do the children, it's got to be a little touchy for them. Belgium, which is on the heels of the Netherlands, passed a measure in 2002 legalizing euthanasia and had fierce opposition. So it limited to adults at that time. So fast forward about a decade later, Belgium's parliament, around February time frame, voted to make the European nation the first in the world to remove age restriction on euthanasia. Well, they got to start somewhere, you know. But you all got to take heed. Aid in Dying Movement. Rita Marker. She believes activists in the United States to help pass the assisted suicide laws in Oregon and Washington State are in the same way monitoring the political winds and the moving in incremental steps of laws with little or no restriction. You see, Belgium is kind of like a poster country for where this goes. This Rita Marker, according to some articles I was picking up on, she has a book called Deadly Compassion. And she's a director, or was at one time, the Patients' Rights Council. And had major activist groups in the United States maintain that they're against giving children the right to die. The early promoters of euthanasia in the United States began in the 1930s, were on record in favor of it. They're going to change the culture for people to accept it. So they'll plan 100 years in advance. They'll plan 50 or 25 years and test it each decade. As they said, Marker said, you can't really get something passed like this all at once. You have to take it gradually. And that's exactly what they are doing, Rita Marker says. It's the same thing with taking down the Ten Commandments or vaccines. They have NAACP go in, ACLU, some adversive, subversive group that lays the groundwork. If they have a stick in the mud, kind of born-again Christian kind of guy that's in charge of, say, a hospital or a legislator, they'll work on him. They'll set him up if they have to. They'll form a task group to follow him, to study him, to find out a way they can change his thinking. That's how they work. Catch him in something or set him up in something, get photographs. Or if they have to, kill him. They'll do whatever it takes. Literally. The Belgium law, according to Rita Marker, is a logical progression because it's kind of hard to argue that people should maintain their personal autonomy and have the right to avoid suffering. So she's looking at adult euthanasia. But children, they think, should be excluded. Well, that's not what International Rights of the Child thinks. This one, like Rita Marker, she doesn't know, apparently, that they're coming out with the International Rights of the Child coordinated with this. Because once they pass the International Rights of the Child Treaty, Convention, and America finally signs it, that effectively gives up your children to the United Nations. That's what it's really for. As for their rights, though, to protect them against these teachers that are sexual predators and against parents that are ill-suited to et cetera, et cetera. That's where Child Protective Service comes in. It's a setup to steal your children. And then put security there, thanks to false flag Sandy Hook, to protect the school from the parents who want to remove their kids out when it gets kind of ugly. Or the vaccines start happening or so forth. Or you want to start homeschooling. Mm-mm-mm. That's what really Sandy Hook was all about, with false flag, to justify putting security in your schools. But they got to protect the kids from the terrorists. No, they're there to protect the school from the parents who wants to take their kid out for protection of their children. That's what that's for. So to put them security there, they must make it look like there's a threat there that you'll just want security there until their time to pull the carpet. That's how they work. Rita Marker said, quote, once you've passed any law permitting euthanasia or doctor-prescribed suicide, you have essentially taken down all barriers. The ones that are up are just window dressing. So they kind of move it around a little bit. Sean Crowley, whoa, interesting last name, Crowley. Sean Crowley, spokesman for Compassion and Choices, told WorldNet Daily that he didn't want to engage in any discussion about the Belgium law because his group doesn't support euthanasia. It advocates physician-assisted suicide, murder. Anyway, and what it calls aid in dying, murder in every other term, only for adults. We're about patient control. Has anybody consulted God in this at all? In euthanasia, the patient loses control. They're not called the shots. They got to bring it up little by little. The new amendment going to Belgium permits euthanasia for terminally ill children near death who are experiencing, quote, constant unbearable suffering, can demonstrate a capacity for discernment. Where's the faith in God ever come in here? Without a faith in God, sure. It's a catch-22, whether you're presenting it. Even in Belgium, the medical community is kind of split over the issue. There are proponents of the law that argue that children in rare cases of unbearable, irreversible suffering should have the same right as an adult. And so religious groups are kind of moving in there to try to slow it down. And along the Netherlands, euthanasia is also legal in neighboring Luxembourg, Switzerland, and they passed the assisted suicide law. So now in the United States, the first victory for these activists in a state-by-state strategy, just like same-sex marriage, it's all connected. They came with the ballot initiative in 1994 in Oregon. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 1997 that physician-assisted suicide is not a constitutional right. And, you know, the court kind of left open the doors for states to address the issue. So now you got what? You got Texas looking at it. Washington State passed its Death and Dignity Act in 2008. Vermont passed a law sometime last year based on Oregon and Montana's Supreme Court, the decision, de facto legalization of the state. And in January, a district court judge in New Mexico, a ban on aid in dying violated the state constitution. And you know, one of the main arguments that you might want to put in your hat is the main arguments, primary argument for restricting euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide to adults is that children can be easily manipulated. But Rita Marker says that adults can be manipulated as well. Family, that's where this Ouija board comes in. That's where the e-cigarettes, that's going to be marijuana later, going to come in. That's where ADHD and the drugs are giving them. That's where that comes in. You got it now? All this is connected. It's the psychiatrists that need the psychiatrist. They need to work on each other before they get out and work on other people and lie about it. Because they're under a blood oath and Freemasonry to do what the Brotherhood wants them to do. That blood oath has got them every time. When they're convicted, they're under a blood oath to God to lie. But when God comes under conviction, gives them under conviction for doing the wrong thing, they're convicted. They got them coming and going. You know, the guilt process, such a weapon. Such a weapon. We use guilt as weapons, don't we? Even on a personal level. Okay, if you really want it that bad, I'll just go ahead and give it up and let you have it. I'll be without it forever, but go ahead and take it. And a mama, when you come to visit for the weekend, mama says, you're not going to eat these beans and cornbread after I slaved in the kitchen all day long? And how about that pecan pie that I slaved and made just for you? And you're going to go out? Oh, I'll get over it. Oh, I don't know how, but I will. Oh, man, guilt is such a weapon. Isn't it, Freemasons? But also taking a blood oath to lie, cheat, and steal. That has a little bit of a snap too, don't it? How do you do that? How do you put away your 120 to 140 IQ, or 110 or maybe 99, depends who you are. How do you put away your IQ to not see that taking a blood oath is wrong? How do you do that? How do you blind yourself to thinking you're actually going to survive God's judgment? Because you won't. How do you justify taking the blood oath when James 5 says taking an oath is not of God? Matthew, taking an oath is wrong according to the Bible. Same Bible they show you that they allegedly go by, which they don't. See, the Masons have a different King James Bible. Masons, they're lying to you. They're using you up. And the special things they show you is facade and the fraud, all the way up to the Joint Chief of Staff. This is how they do it, though. A right-to-die activist persuaded others with emotional arguments, and even a Belgian doctor cited by Time magazine. He's a proponent of some new law, I don't know. Pointed to the case of a child with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Faced a degeneration of muscles that would eventually cause suffocation. But Marker argued that the proponents based their arguments on rare worst-case scenarios, while the Belgium law has in mind any child who's considered terminally ill. But you know, when the new age takes over, that's going to change. Satan wants suicide. It's easier when they just kill themselves. Release that soul energy to the supernatural realm. It's like a ritual. You do it to yourself for Satan to suck up. And the fallen angels, the hierarchy, to use in order to manifest in this realm. I know that may went over some people's heads. You may think I'm crazy, but it's actually true. It's alchemy. It's what it's all about. It's whole thing's all about bringing the second heaven to this earth to where they can control it. In the physical, just like they did before the flood. That's the big picture. And they want people to die along the way. Freemasons, they're going to step on you so hard you have no idea. You have no clue what's going to happen to you. Once they have total control, you will die. That's a promise. It's going to happen. When they tell you they're going to use you, there's a new hierarchy, the new leadership. They are lying to you. They will double cross you. You know, the tattoo, the digital tattoo that goes on the skin, the so-called mark of the beast? Yeah. Did you know that they have a microchip they put in your dear old grandmother, dear old grandfather's body that will give them the dosage they need for their medication with a microchip? Now put two and two together. Would save cops having to chase you down and just inject something in your system, no problem. Or even like they had the test or the study back in 1973 of implanting an electrical shock device in the felons just to test it out. They were homosexual. And so they could monitor. In 1973, coercive behavior modification techniques with offenders, Dr. Ralph and Robert Schwitzbell had a case study with homosexuals in prison that could monitor conversations, locations, a sexual response, and could deliver an electrical shock anywhere in the world. In 1973, look at the implications of that one. Had a transponder put into the skin, in the body. 1973, can you imagine? And so when they detected through electronic means that this individual was getting sexually stimulated, I'm not sure why they did that exactly. I don't have all the electronics that was involved in there, but they would get indication that, oh, we got one here. And then, can you imagine? And the guy would, well, oh, yeah, just like that experiment. Remember that experiment? I remember when it was, but where they'd have somebody in one room, and then they bring a test subject that explained to them, you turn this dial when we tell you to, and it's going to deliver electrical shock to this person. So what they had was a setup to where he'd turn the dial, the person would scream, and say, now do it louder. He'd turn it louder, scream louder, and he'd just die. So he'd see how far people would go. Some people just turn all the way up to the top. Some of them say, I can't do this anymore. To see how far people would really go to cause pain to others. Well, in this case, it was real. So they got a sexual response. Okay. That would sure end it, I tell you. Having your own taser put in your body. And every time you got a sexual response, bzz, you get shocked. I'd rather be Pavlov's dog see food and hear a bell and you'd salivate and getting shocked every time, right? Yeah, well, that's what they did. Except when you read the study, which I have a copy of, 92-page monograph, it talks about financial debts, socially troublesome persons. That's way beyond sexual response. So if you don't pay your bill, your car, okay, I'll pay the darn bill. Stop with the taser already. Well, I got news for you. The digital tattoo, Regina Dugan out of DARPA, who went to Google, they come up with a tattoo that goes on your forearm. It's got everything there in the need. Microchips in the pills helps to locate you, helps to connect that digital tattoo with your body. Sends out a strong DNA signal that even a satellite can pick you up anywhere you are and deliver electrical shock to you. Microchips in the pills. Now do the math on that one. So if a cop's just chasing, say, oh yeah, the guy's running. Yeah, E equals, you know, whatever, you know, 5-6-7-7-7, hit the button. Psst, okay, let's go pick him up. And no problem, man. Don't even have to work out to be a cop. Just be able to use a radio and he starts running. Just call him and you want to, what, terminate him? Okay. Well, you got any last rights? Okay, go ahead. Psst, he's dead. Call the meat wagon, take him away. No problem. Huh? You say, well, you've been watching too many science fiction. Nope, this is true. Look it up right now. Put microchips in the pills. Already being done a long time ago. Deliver electrical shock to the body. How about a pacemaker? They've already hacked into those. Hacked into them? They didn't have to hack into them. That is exactly where it's headed. But now me telling you this, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to say, oh man, I just don't want this anymore. If you got Jesus Christ, it don't make a lick of difference. Because you know their reign's going to end. And then nothing but thunder and lightning going to come down on top of them. Because Jesus Christ wanted to cross the Calvary. And the Shriners better get with reality here and renounce that blood oath. Or they're heading to hell for an eternity. You Shriners going to hell. All the good deeds in the world won't stop it. Until you renounce that blood oath and get the Dickens out of there. Knights of Malta. Boys, I don't know what to tell you, son. I just do not know what to tell you. It's called a reprobate mind. You better pray to God you don't have one. It's going to get serious down the road. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Euthanasia. Sure is medical cost, don't it? No problem there. Got the money you left behind, everything. Satan's quite clever. But he's got to be pretty dumb in the long term because he knows he's going to lose. It's kind of what he's doing. It's called a scorched earth policy. You know, the year after Euthanasia Society of America was formed in 1938, it urged legalizing the termination of human life by painless means for the purpose of avoiding unnecessary suffering. That's 1938. So they had to change the thinking pattern over, what, 70, 80 years to get to where people would actually vote for it. Euthanasia Society's president, Dr. Foster Kennedy, Illuminati, he insisted that euthanasia was needed mainly for defectives. Oh, we got a little New World Order going on here, don't we? You're defective. Kill him. See what y'all dealing with? Dr. Foster Kennedy advocated the, quote, legalizing of euthanasia primarily in cases of born defectives who are doomed to remain defective rather than for normal persons who have become miserable through incurable illness. You know, there's a couple that had defective child, missing most of his brain, knew he was going to die, but had him anyway just so he would live in this world for a period of time. They could show him love for a couple of days or hours, and then he expired. I would seem to think that would be blessed by God. That God brought him home. He didn't live long because God knew what kind of life he would have, but it's God's choice, not man's choice. It's God's choice because he brought the life. Man's choice is to commit murder. Because man does not have the wisdom that God has. That's impossible. It's like saying the earthworm can fly a plane. Because the earthworm does not have the dimensional capacity. Or a monkey does not have the dimensional capacity to fly a lunar module. I started to say he couldn't drive a car, but nowadays they probably could. It's called dimensional capacity. A possum does not have the dimensional capacity of a dog or a cat, because a dog or a cat, certain animals, have what's called S-O-U-L-I-S-H, soulish souls. Soulish. They're soulish. They have a like a soul. They can feel pain. They can feel remorse. They can show emotion. But a possum doesn't. A possum is just a darn possum. A raccoon. There's a difference in the dimensional capacity of these animals. I hope I don't have to tell you what an earthworm has. Yeah, that's kind of silly, wasn't it? But that's a good example, though. So, here's the point. Mankind does not have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. It's not possible. So the supernatural comes to mankind and says, look at what you can have with supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors and oohs and ahs and wows, the Freemasons, with look what we can give you, the power that you can have, but it's not your power at all. It's a demonic realm that is influencing it for magicians, for particle physical manipulation. It's not you. Remote viewing, automatic writing, it's not you. It's a demon inside you that's doing it. You know, in 1989, the influential University of Iowa College of Law drafted a model law in which aid in dying could be demanded for terminally ill children by their parents or by terminally ill children along with their parents. And Rita Marker, she notes that the idea of mercy killing for children kind of became part of the respectable debate in the 1980s and 1990s. Even talk about it in Cleveland, Ohio. But y'all didn't know so many folks was looking at it. And of course, 1999, Princeton University, Illuminati College, tied into Tavistock, Princeton. Members of Council of Foreign Relations, Illuminati. Yeah. A Presbyterian church institution hired Australian philosopher Peter Singer as a professor in bioethics. He's an advocate of infanticide and euthanasia. Well, a well-known advocate then of child sacrifice. Let's call it what it is, to Satan. That's what it is. But one little problem, he infamously declared in 1983 article that a pig had greater value than a handicapped newborn. That's what y'all dealing with, this kind of thinking. Out of Princeton University, a CFR college. So, hey, your kid's going to Princeton? Princeton's president issued a statement saying that while faculty members may disagree with him on some issues, they have deep respect for his scholarship and invariably find his work instructive. Really? Well, I got a little something to say about that. Something that you regular listeners have heard me say before, but that I can add a little bit to that irresponsible statement that that Princeton president said. Was it, for you new listeners might have an idea what we're talking about here. Is this, quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism," unquote. 1930, Charles Francis Potter, humanist. 59 years later, Roger Kimball said, I quote, "With a few," Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L, "with a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu," that's Marxist and humanist, "menu at the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels." And even Herbert London, New York University, which is a CFR college, said, and I quote, "The stride made by Marxism," see, it's all the same, "at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar." So now you see why this Peter Singer, as professor in bioethics, 1999. And why Princeton's president would issue a statement saying that some disagreed with him on some issues, but they have deep respect for his scholarship and invariably find his work instructive. Well, how's that possible when he's biased with a humanist mindset? That means his work is worthless. Absolutely worthless. Literally worthless. Because it's under a biased agenda of Lucifer, which can be proven. That is humanism. Now, you might say, well, what in the world is humanism? That's what Elmer would say, right? Well, a quick shot of humanism to let you know what runs your colleges, runs your high schools throughout the United States, all of them, and your colleges, all of them, and your universities now, all of them. The common doctrines and goals of secular humanism that runs your education system in the United States totally is, number one, secular humanism and Marxism and Leninism, it's all the same. They deny the existence of God. They deny the existence of a soul. They deny the existence of absolute moral laws. They deny the existence of inalienable rights, including rights guaranteed to us by the U.S. Constitution. That means the Constitution, literally, drawn up in the 1700s, was nothing more than to placate American population. It was never intended to be used, only to be a facade. With Freemason judges, lawyers, legislators, law enforcement at the highest level, military, to subjugate it without you knowing about it. The Constitution was modeled after the Magna Carta. The U.S. Constitution was brought to us by Jesuits to give the facade that you have freedom is a lie. Jesuits lie, the Fabians lie, the Masons lie. Knights of Malta lie, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, they all take blood oaths against you. Every one of them. Another one, deny the sanctity of individual human life. Bingo. Deny the sanctity of individual human life is secular humanism. And you know they claim that they can only be successful in creating their utopia by establishing a world government or a new world order. Utopia. Isn't there a program coming on called Utopia? That's called progressive programming. Predictive programming. And this one ought to grab you. Regular listeners, you've heard me say this before. I can give you the details if you want, but it just boils down to this. This is part of another doctrine. It says, I quote, "They believe that their traditional family must be eliminated in order to obtain world peace." So there's your world peace, and they convince their adherents that in order to have world peace, we have to get rid of this traditional family concept. And that's exactly what they're doing. And now it's 22 plus states, same-sex marriage, getting in child euthanasia, getting rid of the Ten Commandments, making man and woman both work, making divorce easier, international rights of child, take your children away from you, getting rid of homeschooling, keep your children busy with iPads, this pad, that pad, IG, this G, that G, and the video games, all that's connected. Every single bit. And you know where they discuss it? Bilderberg Group, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, Rolling Institute of National Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation, United Nations, representatives discuss these issues and how far along are we that we can go to the next phase. In all these in mass detail. Now, they can do that if they want to, but they lose. That's what I try to tell y'all. I'm telling you what they got planned, but what they got planned ain't going to win. But right now, they're working on taking your kids away from you. Legalizing euthanasia, assisted suicide, the illusion of safeguards and controls. I got a whole studies on this thing I've done up. Try to keep track of them. And they're running a very slippery slope. But first they got to justify it, where you all would agree with it. You know, until 2001, the Netherlands allowed only adults access to euthanasia or PAS. However, the 2001 law allowed for children 12 to 16 years old to be euthanized if consent is provided by their parents, even though that age group is generally not considered capable of making such decisions. And you know, the law even allowed physicians to proceed with euthanasia if there's disagreement between the parents. God help you if you're separated, divorced. Who can you imagine the emotion that go along with that? And by 2005, the Groningen Protocol allowed for euthanasia of newborns and younger children that they say, quote, have no hope of a good quality of life, was implemented in 2006. Legislators in Belgium announced that their intention to change the euthanasia law to include infants, teenagers, and people with dementia or Alzheimer's disease. That should strike up somebody's eyeballs right quick. Hey, baby boomers, you feeling pretty comfortable? Y'all better get to work, get to praying, get with groups to put a slowdown on this euthanasia act. They really want to keep this down, keep it quiet. But Freemasons are going to use this against you. You know that, right? First chance they get. Now, when we talk about the numbers, the number of deaths by euthanasia in Flanders doubled since 1998. So, of the total deaths in Flemish-speaking part of Belgium, population 6 million, was 1.1%, 0.3%, and 1.9% occurred by euthanasia in 1998, 2001, 2007. About 620, 500, and 1,040 people respectively in those years. That's a lot of people, man, that kill themselves for these reasons. No hope. Just die, man. Just die. If I feel miserable, well, die then. That's all it is. There's something wrong with that. Got to be something wrong with that. That just blows my mind sometimes when I hear this. They're not going to stop there. They always pick it up another pace, another step. To reduce those that are not good enough in the next New World Order. It's what's going to boil down to. In this euthanasia. the way they come after your kids, those that are advocates for it, I bet they're going to be singing a different tune then. I got a couple of articles here on Rita Marker that talks about this. She's really getting into it. So now, according to a proposal that they're coming up with in the Netherlands, euthanasia and assisted suicide would be legal if the patient makes a voluntary request, the patient is suffering irremediable and unbearable pain, and in Dutch courts, the court decisions have found that either psychic, emotional, or physical pain can be used to meet the criteria of unbearable suffering. I'm just tired of living, in other words, right? Terminal illness has never been a requirement for euthanasia in the Netherlands. All medical options must be exhausted. Sacred medical opinion must be sought after. Euthanasia death must be carefully carried out. Can you imagine if they failed at it? It's like, not only would be committed to like a capital crime. Same thing. Is it not? It's capital punishment. Same thing as death by injection. What's the difference here? Ooh, boy. Does that have implications or what? Same thing as death penalty. They haven't committed a crime. And they got to be something wrong with that. You do the same thing if someone's committed a mass murder. You do the same thing for someone just wants to die. Assisted suicide. That's all death penalty is. So where's the drawing line on that one, huh? Ooh, man. Are we in a slippery slope or what? Mm-mm-mm. There's so much information on this, about this euthanasia, and it's in the health care bill. And all I got to do is push a button with your microchip there. It's done. That's how easy it's going to be. Wow, man. I tell you, that's amazing. That just, so when I learn stuff along the way, even my own research, things come popping out. You never stop learning. And all I do is just pass on what I've learned. You need to do your own research. But family, all that here and there, you need to look soon, like today, about changing your life, accepting Jesus as your Savior once and for all. And do it legitimately. Do it to where you're sincerely sorry about the sins you've committed. And you say those to Jesus. And you take Him as your Savior. Wherever you are, you don't need a preacher or a pastor or pope or rabbi or whatever. They got their own problems. Because they're all sinners too. It's between you. I've been there. I know this. I've been there myself. And it's still a challenge every day not to go back the way it used to be. But what you've seen where you were is something you don't want to go back to. Because you know the results of it. So, what is... I think it needs to be hit on more this week, actually, too. Because, family, they're pushing this thing heavy and hard. Euthanasia advocacy over the years of not limited to adults and assisted suicide and euthanasia do pose a real threat to minors. Little attention is being paid to this aspect of the debate because they're trying to keep it down. They're not connecting the international rights of the child with euthanasia of children also. I haven't heard anyone connect it. I'm telling you, they're connected though. They're connected together. That's why they keep things separate. So when other things, both things are passed, they connect it, it's too late. When they go euthanasia for all ages. The Oregon Death with Dignity Act marked the first time assisted suicide only bill was proposed. 1994. Aid in dying. It's capital punishment for living, right? You think it's going to stop because they're physically disabled? No, they need some reason to get it passed first. Well, my question is, what does the Bible say about euthanasia and assisted suicide? What about them apples? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible sometimes it calls it mercy killing. Sometimes euthanasia, euthanasia, some called it mercy killing. It can be a difficult issue from a humanistic point of view. And we don't want to take a person's life in their own hands and end it permanently or prematurely, because God has a plan for that life, one way or the other. He already knows that the person's disabled or has been disabled or something, so he's got a purpose for that. We can't possibly know it because we don't have the dimensional capacity to understand. There's a bigger plan out there. On the other hand, you do not want to prolong the process of dying more than necessary. That is, you want to preserve life, but not prolong death. So at what point do you simply allow a person to die and take no further action to extend their life? Whoa, what a question that is. I doubt whether I can answer it properly because I'm not a philosopher or I'm not a doctor. I'm not a theologian necessarily, but I do quite a bit of research. But I will speak about it. A person that seeks assisted suicide is seeking to euthanize themselves. Dr. Kevorkian brought to the surface as designed. And they seek to euthanize themselves with the aid of another person to make sure that death is quick and painless. The person helping them facilitates the death by making preparations and furnishing the needed equipment, but the person seeking death is the one who actually initiates the process. A little sticky, don't it? A little sticky. I guess that would be the difference between a capital punishment, death sentence by injection, and assisted suicide. You just do it yourself. Oh, man. Either way, you die at the hands of unnatural means. By taking a hands-off approach to the death itself, the one who facilitates it will seek to avoid charges of murder. It's got to be sticky. Proponents of assisted suicide, they try for a positive, convincing spin to it. Death with dignity. Death with dignity is still death, no matter how you look at it. You're still dead. And it's by your own hand or somebody else's, whatever. Still, it's not in God's hand. Assisted suicide is still suicide, and suicide is wrong. Had a Christian try to convince me otherwise that they're still going to heaven. That's, I have people I run into in Mount Airy here that we've had these discussions here. And let me explain this about my point of view about why suicide, you wouldn't go to heaven. I said, well, number one, I can't read the heart like God can. I don't have the mental capacity, but I can tell you what the Bible says. You know, we live in what's sometimes called a culture of death. And did you know that you're taught this culture of death since the day you started public school? So now it's not a surprise when you say that all schools of humanism. How about when you're a kid and say, okay, kiddies, get your paper and pencils, and we're going to the graveyard, and you're going to find a headstone that you really like, and make a carbon copy by moving your pen sideways multiple times, like a windshield wiper. I don't think she'd say it like that. But anyway, so you get an impression of an old tombstone. Look how old this one is. 1880 and died, you know, 1900, whatever. Okay, little Johnny, what'd you get? Well, I got this right here. You know, that's death education part of it. That's what it's for. That's the purpose of it. To show that death is final. It's you, nothing but you, and this gravestone that kids come around and get a copy of your headstone or whatever. We live in what's called this culture of death, death education, abortion on demand, practiced for decades, in the light and in the dark. Some are seriously proposing infanticide. I've explained this now. And euthanasia is promoted as a means of solving social and financial problems. Yeah, financial problems solved? Yeah, they get your accepted for value money in the millions of dollars. Oh, yeah, that's another story I haven't told y'all. Some of y'all already know what I'm talking about. They get all your Social Security, get everything in the world, even trying to abolish inheritance, taxes, property, whatever else. It's all part of it. You die, they take, if they can. A focus on death as an answer to the world's problems is a total reversal of the biblical model. Death is an enemy. Second death certainly is. You know what the second death is? That's when your soul is separated from God forever because you just don't die. I'm going to cover in my Bible studies this week. Let me write it down. Soul sleep. And there's Christians that believe in soul sleep. We'll fight for it. To make seem like you don't go to hell immediately. Your soul just sleeps like you were in a deep animation or something. I'll explain it later, not today. The focus on death is an answer. You go to 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The Bible's got the answers. Y'all ever notice that? The Bible has the answers. In almost every case. As a matter of fact, the Illuminati goes by the Bible. They see it as a telltale sign of what's coming. The humanist control of America is based on a lot of what I'm talking about today. Now, what I want to talk about tonight, we'll go 8 to 9 Bible study on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. I want to talk tonight about end time events. If I get to it here in the next 20, 30 minutes, I may continue it on tonight, 8 to 9, in a Bible study, 8 to 9 tonight. End time events. Because all this is connected, really. We'll speak about the end time events because they're being so modified and people are being fooled. But that'll be tonight, mostly. I want to go ahead and complete this about the Bible. I'm talking about it now, about euthanasia. I think that needs to be talked about. So we'll continue with that right now. But tonight, Bible study 8 to 9, watchforjesus.com. Now, let's go back to euthanasia right quick. The focus on death, 1 Corinthians 15:26, is the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Life is a sacred gift from God. He gave it to us. He extended their lifespan before the flood to 1,000 years, 900, 800 years, 979, almost up to 1,000. Then he started reducing it down to 120, then further down to 70 years. You know, the focus on death is an answer to the world's problems is a total reversal of the biblical model. Now, if you go to Genesis 2:7, for example, as I said before, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When given the choice between life and death, God told Israel to choose life. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. 30 verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So that euthanasia spurns the gift, embraces the curse. So this truth that God is sovereign drives us to the conclusion that euthanasia and assisted suicide are clearly wrong. And we know that physical death is inevitable. For us, it's going to happen. Psalms 9:48. That's reality. They're trying to extend life, which means they're going to lose it. You know, if we had it forever, why do they keep trying to extend it? Death is a part of life. So if you run around all afraid to die and all, I don't mean you hurried it up and none, but how are you going to live your life? 89:48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of a grave? Selah. Hebrews 9:27. Whoever came back to life besides Jesus? Not one person. They like to say, well, I've been to heaven, and heaven's different than what people say it is. Yeah, right. The Bible tells you exactly what it is that you need to know. Hebrews 9:27. And as it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Whew, that's rough. That's quick. You know, God alone is sovereign over when and how a person's death occurs. Job 30, verse 23. I know you will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. No man has power over the wind to contain it. Ephesians 8, 8. So no one has power over the day of the death. And you know, God has final say of the death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And 1 Corinthians 54:56. What's that again? Yeah, 15:54, sorry. In 15:54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by grace of God, should taste death for every man. So you see, becoming a physical being is a step down. So the fallen angels want to go to mankind because they want that lust of the flesh. But for angels in heaven, it's a step down. For Jesus Christ to come as a human is a step down from supernatural. It's like you're having a Lamborghini and you want to get a 1963 Ford Falcon that's got 500,000 miles on it. You know, that's what you've done. That's what you are compared to supernatural, eternity, the supernatural body. Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much even as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus, we're talking about here. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'm going to say that again. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to that bondage of the fear of death. The bondage of the fear of death. And the hope, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's after Armageddon. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. So euthanasia and assisted suicide are man's attempts to usurp that authority from God himself. Every case. Death is a natural occurrence. And you know, sometimes God will allow a person to suffer for a long time before death occurs. Other times, a person's death is suffering is cut short. No one enjoys suffering. Job didn't enjoy suffering. But that does not make it right to determine that a person should die. Remember, he'll not put more any more than you can handle on to you. Often God's purposes are made known to strengthen you through suffering. When times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one against the other, so in that man should not find nothing after him. All things I've seen in the days of my vanity, there is just man that perish in the righteousness. There is a wicked man that prolongs his life in his wickedness. God's not playing around. In Romans 5:3, what we got there? It says that, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. That's what it's teaching you. And it teaches that tribulations being about perseverance. You see, God cares about those who cry out for death and wish to end their suffering. And what happens, though, in the last 3.5 years? He won't let anybody die that's been punished. They'll seek death and can't find it. Can you imagine that? God gives purposes in life, even to the end. And only God knows what's best. This is a case where it's proverbial, Father knows best. His timing, even in a matter of one's death, is perfect. So we should never seek to prematurely end a life. Neither should we go to extraordinary means to preserve a life. That's sure radical to think about, isn't it? To actively hasten death is wrong. To passively withhold treatment can also be wrong. But to allow death to occur naturally in a terminally ill person is not necessarily wrong. So what's the battleground here? What's the middle ground in the battleground? Is that anyone facing this issue should pray to God for wisdom. That's where we all go back to. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But family, you gotta have faith in prayer and faith in God. Otherwise, you go through the 11 areas I've talked about before that hinders prayer. But main of it is faith and belief. You know, you should also remember the words of what was a former Surgeon General, C. Everett Hoop, Koop, K-O-O-P, I believe. He warned that practice of medicine cannot be both our healer and our killer. Suicide is not the right thing to do. That's why I pray against it, because our veterans are being targeted. Citizens are being targeted for suicide. 26 suicides per day is way off the scale. Pills are being given, 20 pills or whatever, for post-traumatic stress, of which 80% of our veterans have never been to combat. Now, there's something wrong with that. 60% of the 80% never been deployed. So what's with the 26 suicides, probably more, per day? What's going on there? Something's not right. Could it be orchestrated? Oh, yeah. Through technology. Voice-to-skull technology. The same pills being given to your children being given to the veterans. Then you got the microchips inside. They didn't want the veterans being any kind of, well, several reasons, any kind of resistance to the UN troops that are here now when the time comes. Number two, for those troops that know certain things from being over in Iraq and Afghanistan, not to come back here and go whistleblower on them because of the things they saw over there. The drugs they brought back with them. Oh, yeah, just like Vietnam, Korea, but Vietnam primarily. Use it for drug, CIA drug racketeering. Moving drugs from Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Venezuela area into the oil platforms. Bush knows all about that. Into Mena, Arkansas, and all kinds of places, the CIA airports to bring the drugs in. When? 1960s. Why? To medicate the population. After all, the fluorine didn't do all the job they wanted. So let's bring in marijuana. Let's bring in the drugs, shove the blacks in ghettos, and shove food, drugs there. Same thing for everybody else that's available. To medicate the population. What that's all about. Mass medication. Put cocaine in Coca-Cola in the 1860s and 1970s. Well, they changed the recipe of Coke. I don't like it today. Oh, you don't, huh? No. You changed the recipe. Yeah. They took the cocaine out and they replaced it with energy drinks. Yeah, buddy. They sure did. They know what they're doing. You see, now, the thing is, they want you to know this now, so I'm helping them, aren't I? The problem is, they want you to know it. So when Sanan Emanuel, when these fallen angels come into play to save mankind, they're going to stop the chemtrail. So they, to stop it, they make sure they get accolades. They're going to let you know that the chemtrails are happening, that the Illuminati is out there. So to defeat the Illuminati, to defeat, get rid of the chemtrails, they stop the pollution and all that, they're heroes. That's exactly what they're going to do. And they're nothing but a bunch of liars. All of them. All the ascended masters, the fallen angels, and the secret societies are nothing but liars. After their own skin. To save their own skin. And dragging everybody else down with them. Because they've taken a blood oath against you. Or they've taken a blood oath against themselves. I try to bring this up so people hear it. So they'll sit back and look. Gosh, you know, maybe he's right. That's all. And what do? Is you renounce a blood oath. and get back with your family. And stop with the secrets. Having secrets in your family can never be good. You see, can never be good. Well, tonight, now I briefly touched on today the euthanasia, and I may cover some of it more tomorrow. I think some more needs to be covered about this, I do think. End times events, though, boy, they've been so manipulated. Oh, my goodness. You got the Hagees and all these guys out there with their so-called books about four blood moons, tetrad this and tetrad that. Absolute, total nonsense. Can they have something happen then? Sure, because they got a hold of technology. They're in league with Satan, and they can come up with all kinds of supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors. Harp, this, that, and the other. I don't really care, but all of it is to manipulate and make you think the tribulations are already here. This Ebola virus is your pestilence. They try to say that Chernobyl is your wormwood. They try to use Fukushima as, well, there's your water being, your oceans being destroyed. That's your Calvinist and preterist coming up with this nonsense. And those on YouTube trying to promote it. Carl Gallup down in Florida, we're in the sixth trumpet. Lord have mercy, oh my goodness. But do look for the signs of the times, the real signs. And know that the falling away must come first. And the man of sin is revealed. It's not four blood moons. They've had four blood moons since how long? They've had moon up there. They try to attribute like this, what, Jonathan Conjob, the Shemitah, and the Harbinger. He admits it's a fiction book, for goodness sakes. It was fiction, don't people understand? Go back to what I said 2 hours ago. Mankind does not have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. So by these, like Jonathan Kahn and the rest of them, that do not promote the only true word of God, the King James Bible, which is there is no other, as evidence confirms, means they're not of God. There's no way possible. If they have the Holy Spirit in them, then the Holy Spirit would direct them to the true word of God. And certainly not the Jerusalem Bible. It's absolutely not the NIV or New American Standard Bible or any of them, the Douay-Rheims or Calvin and the Geneva Bible or any of them, because they're corrupted coming from one source and the trail that it led. King James stands alone. Cambridge edition. It's a fact. That's why they want you to get away from it. Because it brings you wisdom. It tells you what's going to happen. It's going by the book. Why do you think I play that song every day in my broadcast? They can do predictive programming. Well, doggone, I can do it too. And why don't I play the last song, He's Alive? I got a reason for playing that one too. It's not because I like the song. I like the song. But that's not the only reason I play it. I do it for predictive programming also. There, I admitted it. And it's going by the book. The trumpet's getting ready to blow. You're darn right I use it, because that's exactly what's getting ready to happen. That's why I use those two songs. But it can be backed up by Scripture. They can't. Matthew 24:21, for there shall be great distress, great tribulation, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If that's the case, and we're in the sixth trumpet, where did we miss it all? Because that certainly hadn't happened yet in all of mankind. You can't cite one time that the world's been in great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. Has never happened. So why buy those stupid books that they put out? Because it's a lie. That means you got to have to learn your Bible, if you haven't already. You can't depend on the preachers anymore. Not really. certainly the ones with 10,000 people in their stadiums, in their congregations, because that's the New Age churches like Osteen, now Graham, and all the rest of them. They're going along with the aliens. We got to evangelize aliens. That's what the Pope and Billy Graham says. Well, that's not true, because there's no aliens out there. There aren't any. They're demonic. They're fallen angels. The abomination of desolation, the event that kicks off the Great Tribulation, a period of judgments, 3.5 years long. Matthew 24:15-21. And after the Great Tribulation, the Lord returns, and following his return of the millennium begins. That's the last 3.5 years of 7 years. After the millennium comes eternity. No end. I would not want to be in hell for an eternity. Those in hell now, today, the only relief they're going to get is after the Battle of Armageddon. And they're pulled out of hell long enough. I'm sorry, my mistake. Is the Battle of Gog and Magog after the 1,000 years. A millennial reign. 1,000 years. In addition to the years of Armageddon, 7 years of tribulation, and all the time before that when they died, if they went to hell. They've been tormented the whole time. At the end of the 1,000 years of millennial reign is a great white throne judgment. And only in that time will they be pulled out of hell long enough to be judged and sit right back to it. The judgment seat of Christ is before the first trumpet, where those accepted Jesus Christ will be crowned, either one of five or all five crowns, whatever. And those that don't receive crowns, didn't do what they were supposed to do with what they had once they become born again, may have some shame, but they will better be glad they're there in heaven, crown or no crown. That day is coming. Those judgments are coming. It got nothing to do with the Masonic ring, knick-knack, paddywhack, or anything else. Matter of fact, what keeps them out of heaven is by being a Mason. Because they've taken a blood oath. 33rd degree Freemasons renounces Jesus Christ at 33rd degree. Those at 33rd degree believe in God, they go to York. Those that don't, they go Scottish Rite. It's a mess what they got people into. In Matthew 16:2-3, he replies, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, today will be stormy. For the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Matthew 24:15-16. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. What does that mean? That means in the first 3.5 years, the first seal is going to be peace and prosperity, and everybody will celebrate, just like in 1921. And when you start celebrating and everything's fine, people tend to forget what's coming and forget what the past was. They're living in the moment. They're placated. And then about, who knows how long, but up before 3.5 years, somewhere in there, the Antichrist, who came in as a good guy, fixing everything, and the false prophet as his partner, will then let loose with a military you can't even believe. It'll be the Third World War. A partial Gog and Magog of sort between Islam and Zionism. That Third World War compacted second, third, fourth, and fifth seal. Famine, pestilence, those who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, beheaded. The sun, the moon, the stars. The sun will become black as sackcloth. And then the moon will turn blood red. There's your one blood moon at the sixth seal. And a great earthquake will happen. As the earthquake happened when Jesus died on the cross and the skies got dark. It'll happen again. Except this will be worldwide. Unbelievable loss of life. And there will be no electricity. Everything will be gone. And there will be a silence in heaven. And then we'll begin the second 3.5 years of the trumpet to blow. And the day of the Lord to begin. And from then on, it's the vengeance of God upon this earth. So the church has to be removed or protected. So at the time this happens, amid tribulation, the double cross between the Antichrist against Israel, and God will allow it because they will turn their back on Jesus by starting the sacrifices. And the Antichrist will be allowed to enter Jerusalem, and that will begin the abomination of desolation. And that's when it's told, the Bible tells those in Judea, in Jerusalem, to then immediately head to the mountains as fast as they can go. Now you wonder, well, what happens after then? Well, it'll be protection for the next 3.5 years while God hammers worldwide the seven trumpets upon this earth. And the seventh trumpet will bring on the seven bowl judgments, which is the wrath of God of the great tribulations. And the seven bowl judgments will continue even worse judgment upon this land. And the seventh bowl will bring on those 100-pound hailstones. Can you imagine? That's a little overkill, you think, right? And then comes Armageddon. But the abomination of desolation is the Antichrist marching into Jerusalem and causing them to cease the blood sacrifices of animals and declaring himself to be God. That is the abomination of desolation, according to the Bible. Your Jonathan Clicks and all these guys say differently, and they are dead wrong. The Bible stands. The Bible is overrides every one of them. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist turns bad, marches in Jerusalem, demands the sacrifices of animals stop because he claims to be God. Satan takes over his body, and it's nothing but ugly. That's the abomination of desolation. 3.5 years later comes Armageddon. But judgment upon an earth that has Nephilim and those who rejected Jesus be like shooting fish in a barrel. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you don't have to argue about whether you're pre-trib. The most ridiculous arguments I've ever heard in my life. It's like, Christians over here, you're pre-tribbers. Raise your hands, pre-tribbers. Okay, pre-tribbers over here. Mid-tribbers, you guys here in the middle, all right? And post-trib over there. And those of you with no trib, okay, you come over here. You know, everybody's on their little boxes. It don't matter what little box they are. If none of them have Jesus Christ as Savior, they're never going to see heaven. No matter what pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, no-trib, whatever. Or tribulites, it don't matter. If you don't take Jesus Christ as Savior, you can take any position you want. It don't matter because you're not going to go there anyway. You know, really. You ever saw that on YouTube? Facebook? I proclaim there's no rapture. So what? If you don't take Jesus Christ as Savior, it won't matter anyway. It's a pre-trib rapture because LaHaye said so. Do tell. When's the tribulation? They can't tell you when. So then you don't know when. So get off it. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you ain't got to worry about it. Don't even have to argue about it or debate. You know, debate is against the Bible. How come these theologians, as smart as they are, now I'm just an old country boy, and I know that. that you're not supposed to debate. Debate is considered the same as murder. Did you all know that? I mean, literally, in the Bible, debating is considered a sin like murder. You don't believe me, do you? Good, then you're going to check it out, right? Because I tell y'all, don't believe a word I say. I mean, I don't want you to. I don't want you to believe me. But I want you to, with fervence, I want you to go after it with fervent heat to find the truth out and prove me wrong. Man, do something to research. Do whatever it takes. I don't care. Something that it takes to get you to research and find out yourself. Don't let somebody do it yourself. Do it for you. I mean, do it yourself. In Romans 1, verse 29, it is clear as a bell, man. You can't get no clear. Look it up yourself. Romans 1, verse 29. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. Now, how much clearer can you get on that? You know, really. So you got this Ham guy who's an alleged Christian. You see, that's how they do it. They work both sides. He debates with some atheist or whatever, Lucifer, I don't know, whatever he was, and makes Christianity look foolish. See, no human being can debate the Word of God. It is impossible. Why? Because we don't have the mental capacity to debate the Word of God. It's like somebody debating your resume working for Microsoft as a computer programmer or something other, and then you pay some homeless guy $100 to go do it for you because you're just too tired to do it. So he goes up there, your resume. He's got to interview Bill Gates with Bill Gates to be a computer programmer for Microsoft, and you're just too lazy to go. So you hire this homeless guy to take your resume and go up there and do it for you. Can he get the job for you and then come back and say, well, he wouldn't give you the job or would? You know, really, it's ridiculous, but you cannot debate the Word of God. It is impossible. There's not a human being on the face of the planet that's ever lived except for those that were prophets. And they couldn't debate all of it because they only knew a part of it during that period of time. Habakkuk may not have heard Daniel's prophecies yet, so I could debate it. You've got all of them in the King James Bible, but we still, you don't know it all. None of us do. He tells us what we need to know. Because we don't have the capacity to understand the full scope of it. So no man can debate the Word of God. Having the wisdom of God, you'd be able to debate it, right? Well, yeah. Trying to take the wisdom of God to man is like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. It ain't gonna fit. We can't do it in this physical capacity. So why do they have this ridiculous debating on TV, on movies, on YouTube, or whatever? Just can't do it. We're to teach, correct, be gone. But being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, which, by the way, they took that out of that list. Why would they do that? Make it easier to read? Man, you preachers, I'll tell you what, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, yeah, they changed, took the words out to make it easier to read. Really? They took out fornication and adultery in some cases, in some of these scriptures. Imagine that. Well, family, tomorrow, tonight, 8 to 9, we'll go Bible study tonight, 8 to 9. I'm not on Revelation tonight. That's on a hold pattern for a while. But 8 to 9, we'll do Bible study tonight. And watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is watchmanforjesus. And let y'all know we're played up in highportradio.net by John Kirkler. He plays us on his network randomly. John, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R at highportradio.net. And he's got sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So if you have business you're going to conduct, you might want to look at his website, find the sponsor, and use the sponsor, if that's the case. For us, he just plays our broadcast, and we appreciate that. That's what I get out of that. That's it. And so, family, my website, watchingforjesus.com. Visit it, and I use it mainly for the broadcasting. And I have archives already. I put up archives daily. And it plays randomly 24/7. So I cut in on it between 4 and 6 and 8 and 9 for Bible study. 4 to 6 for broadcast. Thank you all for your attention tonight and this afternoon. And, well, family, we'll see you all tonight 8 to 9 or tomorrow 4 to 6. For the regular broadcast, hit the ground running. So y'all have a good night. And here we go on the week. Good night, and God bless. This is the Watchman, signing off.
Why, then I fell down on my knees, and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.